Well, the word today comes from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. This is a story about Jesus and a man named Bartimaeus who is blind. Starting at verse 46 in Mark chapter 10, then they reached Jericho, Jesus and his disciples. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped. And he said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi, or teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly, the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road. This is the word of the Lord this morning. The scripture we read today can't be fully understood unless you understand the bigger picture, the larger context of what is taking place at this time. Jesus and his disciples have been traveling a really long time now in the book of Mark, but they are on their final journey. They have gone through all of these different places in Palestine. They've come through Galilee and now to the city of Jericho. But they are on their way home, and they're not quite to Jericho. But they are on their way to Jerusalem. And they go through Jericho to get there. In fact, they are only about 20 miles, Jericho is, away from their final destination, which is Jerusalem. They are headed to Jerusalem. And what is about to take place in Jerusalem is Jesus' final hours. This is where they are headed. The scripture starts out, they reach Jericho. But we are a Wesleyan holiness, a Nazarene church, all right? So if you stay here long enough, you'll end up becoming one of us, right? That's what happens. Which means that we believe, and this is critical, okay? We believe that where you are coming from is not nearly as important as where you're going. Let me say that again. We're Wesleyan Holiness Nazarenes. And what that means is, and first and foremost, we're Christian, right? We believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus is Lord. And what we believe is that where you're coming from, where you've been, your past, the history, it's important, but it's not nearly as important as where you're going. Somebody should say amen, right? This is good news. The verses immediately before this story that we just read about blind Bartimaeus, in Mark chapter 10, reveal that right before Jesus' disciples made it to Jericho, there's another story that takes place as they're traveling. It's a story about James and John asking Jesus a question. And this is the question they ask. They say, "Teacher," they address him as teacher, "we want you to do whatever it is we ask of you." Kind of a bold question for James and John to ask, but this is what they asked Jesus along the way. And Jesus, maybe somewhat surprisingly, says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And James and John reply, allow one of us to sit at your right hand and one of us to sit at your left in glory. Now, mind you, there's 12 of them, all right? So I don't know if they're like jockeying for position or what exactly is happening here, but this is what James and John's request is. We'd like you to do whatever it is we ask of you. We'd like one of us to sit at your right, one of us to sit in your left. What is it you want me to do for you? Jesus asks. And then Jesus replies, you do not know, James and John, you do not know what you are asking. And from this comes this next story of blind Bartimaeus. Be careful what you ask for. When I was a child, I thought that the best job you could get in the entire world was the President of the United States. I really did. When I was a kid, maybe some of you thought that too. When I was a little kid, I thought that being the President of the United States was like the best job that you could possibly have. I thought it couldn't get any better. You're basically the king, right? I mean, we know that we're a democracy and stuff, but like you're the president. What we know is that that's the king, right? You have all the money in the world at your disposal. You don't have to work because you're the president, right? You can just work whenever you want, right? You can eat anything that you want. You can travel anywhere you want to travel, and you wouldn't have a care in the world because you're the president of the United States. Be careful what you ask for. In my case, I don't have to worry about asking for that. No one would ever make me president of the United States. I used to think that it would be the best thing ever to be famous. When I was a little kid, I thought nothing could be better than to be on TV, right? Or to be in movies. For everyone to know who you are, to not be able to go anywhere without people recognizing you. This is what I thought would be like the greatest thing ever. I mentioned we were at Trevecca Homecoming. By the way, we have celebrities in the house today because Maddie and Jade got the best float in the parade. Their group got the best. So congrats, yes, absolutely. And can I just tell you, it was the best float in the parade. It was fabulous. You know, I'm sure you guys worked countless hours on that float. It looked amazing. But we were at homecoming, and it was fabulous. They give out awards at Trevecca's homecoming to different people that have accomplished a lot of things in the life of the church. And one of the people that they gave an award to, her name was Yolanda Statham. And she's like this teacher at a school, and she's done amazing work in the community and in Nashville at large. And so Trevecca honored her. The thing about Yolanda, though, is that as much as she's accomplished, she's kind of second rate to her husband, who is Leland Statham, who you may know from Channel 5 News as the meteorologist, right, on Channel 5 News. And so we were at Trevecca, and I kind of made the connection because we saw him. Oh, I've seen that guy since I was like 12 doing the weather on TV. That's Leland Statham. And all I could think in my head was, oh my word, that poor man. Because you don't think about, because he's always on TV. But then when you see him out in public, it occurred to me, this guy's life must be miserable, right? Because he's on TV and everyone knows who he is, and he can't go anywhere without people knowing who he is. He can't go anywhere without people recognizing him, about saying some sort of silly comment like, hey, the weather looks nice today, doesn't it? Like, his life must be absolutely miserable. And when I was a kid, I thought, man, there would be nothing better than to be famous and to go anywhere. Be careful what you ask for. I love that now I don't live in Franklin County, and now I live in Rutherford County, and no one knows who I am. I can walk into Walmart. I walked into Walmart this morning and I told Tracy, it's so nice that no one knows who I am. Now, mind you, I hope that that's not always the case. I hope that our church grows to the point that, like, you know, I walk into Walmart and I run into all kinds of people because they come and they come to church because that means our church is growing and that we're finding, you know, we're making an impact on the community. But it's all right right now. I'm okay with, right? We're still early, right? Be careful what you ask for. Jesus reminds James and John that he did not come to be served, but to do the serving. So Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho, and a large crowd is following them. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road. Now think about that picture. A blind man sitting on the side of the road, begging for money. But Jesus is in town. Jesus is in town. And Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is in town. And there's a large crowd that is following him down the road. And so Bartimaeus, in hearing about the fact that Jesus is in town, begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, the people that are there say, shut up, right? Quiet, you old man, right? That annoying, you know, smelly blind beggar that's always sitting on the side of the road. Just stay quiet. Don't bother. Do you know who he is? Shh. Shut up. And this makes Bartimaeus cry out even louder. Amen. Right? Stubborn man that Bartimaeus was, apparently. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look at me. Pay attention. I'm in need. I need you. Right. Have you ever been so desperate for Jesus that you start to annoy people?
Amen.
Have you ever been, like, so in love with Jesus, so desperate to find the truth, so desperate to find something real that you begin to tick people off? As Christians, we believe that in order to find Jesus, you don't have to go very far.
That's right.
Because Jesus is in town.
Amen.
And Scripture says he is not far from each one of us. He's not far from each one of us. However, Jesus is not going to impose on you. He's not going to impose his will on you. He's not going to shake you. He's not going to lift you up. He doesn't do that. He's not far, don't get me wrong, he's not far from each one of you. We talk about prevenient grace, grace that comes before. The kind of grace and mercy that he shows us is him showing up to your town, right? Showing up in your life before you even want him, right? He walks past you. And around you, right? And the part that we have to do is the crying out. The part that we must do is recognizing that when we are sick and blind, we have to cry out to Jesus, right? Maybe some of the children today are doing that, crying out to Jesus. Perfect timing. Good job, guys, right? Eventually, we have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That's right.
And we have to cry out to Jesus. We have to get done with being blind.
That's right.
We have to get tired of sitting on the side of the road while other people get up and follow Jesus. We have to get to a desperate place where all we know to do, as other people tell us to shut up, as other people try to push you down, as other people try to tell you, no, you belong here, on the side of the road, quiet, perish. We have to get so desperate to find something that's real, to find something that will clear up our vision, to clear up our eyes. We have to get so desperate for Jesus that we start to tick people off, right? We have to get so desperate for Jesus that we start to cry out, that we say, Jesus, hello, are you there? Please, I need you.
That's right.
See, he's not going to impose his will on you. But he's not far. He's in town. Don't hear me. He's in town. When we cry out to Jesus, when we get so desperate that we don't care who's watching, that we don't care who's listening, that we don't care who's telling us to shut up, when we get to that point where it only makes us go even louder, it only makes us even that more desperate, when we get to that point, the best news that you can find in this particular passage of Scripture, maybe the best news that you can find in the Bible altogether, is this sentence right here, where it says that when Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus stopped. I can't tell you how happy that makes me. That when we cry out to Jesus, it caused. See, Jesus, my suspicion is that Jesus was walking on the side of the road past Bartimaeus somewhere over here, right? And the crowd's telling, shut up, he's going to Jerusalem. He's got work to do, right? And Bartimaeus cries out even louder, and it causes Jesus to stop. And I believe it causes Jesus to turn. I don't know that you and I understand the magnitude of the love and grace and the mercy that a God of the entire universe has. That just by us crying out to him, by just us uttering his name, by just us getting desperate enough to say we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, Jesus. I don't think we fully comprehend on like a day-to-day basis, even a week-to-week basis. I think there's people out there that don't understand in their entire life the good news of the gospel, which is this, that when you cry out, that when you get so desperate, the God of the entire universe not only stops, but it causes him to change his mind. Think about that. It causes him to stop dead in his tracks wherever God was going, and it causes him to do something different. It causes him to pay attention. Not only is Jesus in town, but he's paying attention. And the next thing that happens is Jesus says, somebody get that guy over here.
That's right.
And then he sends his disciples. That's you and me. He sends his disciples to go up to people that are blind, right? He sends his people over to blind Bartimaeus to say, hey, cheer up. Some translations say, take heart. Be happy. Because guess what? Jesus heard that you were crying out.
Yes.
He's calling for you. And he wants you to come. Do you see the balance that's taking place here? That Jesus does his part in being in town. And Bartimaeus does his part by crying out. And then Jesus does his part by stopping. And then the disciples do their part in going. And then Bartimaeus has to do his part by throwing off his coat.
That's right.
I can't see yet. I'm not going to, like, hey, by the way, Bartimaeus, if you could, this is the Son of God, so if you could clear up the blindness before you go see him, right? Could you clean yourself up a little bit, dust yourself off? No. That's not what it's about. However, there is an element of this balance, this relationship, where Bartimaeus has to kind of like say, all right, this is holding me back. Let me throw this off, right? Do you see the balance here? There's a tremendous amount of grace in Jesus not ignoring Bartimaeus and stopping and paying attention. But there's also a certain element of Bartimaeus doing his part in crying out and paying attention and listen. Oh, he's calling me? I'm going. I will get up. I will make a move, right? There's a lot of action happening here. And it's not just making a move. It's also throwing off things, right? Throw off as much as you possibly can that's keeping you from getting to Jesus. Do your part, right? Anything, Scripture says, anything that the sin that so easily entangles you, throw it off. Yes. Bartimaeus jumps up, throws off his coat, and walks towards Jesus. Yes. Walking towards Jesus does not mean that we make sure we are all healed up and can see before we even meet Jesus face to face. But it does mean that we throw off the things that entangle us, the things that are keeping us from getting to him. I'm as blind and clueless about how to live my life for him, but I know one thing. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of being blind and clueless. I have no idea where I'm headed, but I'm going to hold the hand of Jesus' disciples.
That's right.
I'm not healed. I'm still blind, but I'm making a move. I'm not perfect, not yet. But I'm walking, see, because it's extremely important for you to understand that wherever you're headed is a lot more important than where you've come from.
Amen.
And Jesus stands in front of Bartimaeus and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The exact same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Be careful what you ask for. Jesus isn't an idiot, okay? I want you to hear that. Jesus isn't an idiot. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming, right? This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus is not an idiot. The man is standing there. He's blind. Pretty obvious that he's blind. Jesus knows when you're blind. You're not hiding anything from Jesus. He knows. He knows that you're blind. He knows that you're lost. He knows that you've been sitting on the side of the road. He knows that your life stinks. He knows. He's not an idiot. He's not dumb. You're not fooling anybody. He sees you, but he still asks the question because this is still a part of the balancing act. I wonder if Bartimaeus had gotten, you know, scared. I don't know. I've heard a lot about this guy, but there's no way he can. Jesus, I'd just like some money for some food. I'm obviously blind. If you could just spare some change. Honestly, I have no idea. I'm conjuring up things now, okay? So this is not scripture. But I wonder if Jesus would have looked at his disciples and said, give this man $100. He asked for it. You good? All right. See you later. What do you want me to do for you? Be careful what you ask for. See? Jesus isn't an idiot. Jesus asked the same question to Bartimaeus that he asked to James and John. And after James and John said, hey, one of us would like to sit at your left and one of us would like to sit at your right, Jesus appropriately said, you two knuckleheads don't know what you're asking for. Because when I enter into glory, there's going to be a guy sitting next to me. But the reason he's sitting next to me is because the two guys that are on my right and on my left are going to be hung up on a cross with me. Because you see, I have not come to be served. I've not come to be the king. In the way that you think I've become the king, you have no idea. Be careful, guys, what you ask for. Because you see, if you want to sit at my right and on my left, you're going to have to stretch out your arms and you're going to have to die just like me. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus. And the same response, teacher, I just want to see again.
Yes.
Please let me see again. I'm sick and tired of being sick. I'm sick and tired of being blind. I need to see. Be careful what you ask for, because when Bartimaeus asks this question to Jesus, Jesus says immediately, go, get out of here, go. Isn't it funny? Before he even says, hey, you're healed, he says, go. It's funny to me. You can already start walking because it's already done.
Amen.
The moment you had faith, the moment you asked for more than just $100, The moment you figured out that I'm capable of giving you anything you ask of me, that I'm capable of moving you from the side of the road as a blind, as a bat beggar, the moment it occurred to you that I'm the Son of God, the moment you had faith, the moment you had faith, you were healed.
Amen.
Get out of here. Your faith has healed you.
Yes.
We live by faith and not by sight,
yes.
Pun intended, right? We live by faith and not by sight. It is not your works that will save you. It is your faith in Jesus Christ. Simply believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Simply believe in his name. Believe that he is God's Son, that he is Lord of all, that he is Lord even of your life. Simply believe and you can get out of here and go, because you're healed. Be careful what you ask for. Here's my question today. You walked into this place today for whatever reason. I can guess why you're here. I can make assumptions, but I don't know why you're here. But you're here. And my question for you is, what are you asking for today? What are you asking for today? You came in here, right? Hopefully you're not here just to hear me talk, because that'd be kind of lame. Hopefully, you know, you came because you believe.
Yes.
There's a part of you that's already made a decision. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was this morning, or maybe it was last night, or maybe you just kind of, by God's prevenient grace, stumbled in here, right? But Jesus is in town, right? And so you're here. And maybe you're already in the process of like throwing off the things, and you're walking towards Jesus, and you find yourself here today and you're standing in this place, but don't let the looks of this place deceive you. Jesus is here and he's in town. And my question for you today is, what are you asking for? Be careful what you ask for, because it's important. Why are you here today? Why are you here, right? Bartimaeus, why are you here? What do you need? I believe Jesus today stands before us and anyone else that would stumble in here today. Nothing special about this place, but today, right now, in this moment, it represents for us the presence of God amongst us. It represents the very real nature of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and his Spirit that we sing about, that we talk about, that we pray to. He stands before us today and he says, what can I do for you today? I open the service up most Sundays by saying, God, prepare us. for what you have for us today. And Jesus stands before us today and he says, what can I do for you? What are you asking for? Be careful what you ask for. Maybe you've gone your entire life just kind of, I don't know, could you just spare some change, Jesus? Maybe your faith has lacked. I offer this suggestion for you. It's a prayer that sometimes I have to catch myself praying in my moments of doubt. I believe, God, help my unbelief. Amen. I believe, you got it, God, help me with my unbelief. Because there's moments in my life where I struggle, just like you struggle, and I doubt, and I find myself feeling like I'm sitting on the side of the road blind as a bat, and I'm just being led around by other disciples that seem to have their act together better than me, and I go, God, I believe, but you got to help me. You got to help my unbelief. And Jesus calls us, and he says, come here, bring that girl over to me. Bring Tracy over to me. Come here. What can I do for you? I'm here. I'm right here. What do you need? And he just waits on us to say, God, I'm sick and tired. I'm so done. I have lived my life blind and stupid and all of if you knew my past, and he does. He's not an idiot. He knows. And today he says, what can I do for you today? Be careful what you ask for. Because you see, if you have enough faith, Jesus will give you what you're asking for. Most of Jesus' disciples got exactly what they were asking for. They were persecuted, just like Jesus was, for their faith. Many of them died because they followed Jesus. But to those who did that, they will tell you that there was no greater reward than living a life in service to others rather than being served. Amen. What are you asking for today? Because Jesus is calling.